Speak to you today in the name of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This morning we hear two of many, many healing miracles in Holy Scripture. We'll begin with the healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. We're told that she lay sick with a fever, and Jesus took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And later others were brought to him, those who were sick and demon-possessed, and he healed many of them from various diseases and cast out many demons. If we went just prior to these accounts, we would hear of the healing of a man with an unclean spirit at Capernaum. And then the account that immediately follows today's gospel includes the healing of a leper and also a paralytic. And all of those healings bring us to chapter 2 in the Gospel of Mark. See, these healing events must have brought great relief to the people encountering Jesus. Those were not easy times to live in. People had very limited access to a doctor, per se, or any pharmaceutical helps. Certainly no modern health care as we know it. The expected lifespan was much shorter, as people often succumbed to an injury or an illness. So it's not much of a surprise that people flocked to Jesus. In our account today, Mark tells us that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered together about the door. And Mark tells us that as Jesus continued to travel along place to place, his fame regarding these miracles, this healing he brought, began to spread everywhere throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. And crowds would often descend on him. They would seek his healing touch. And even the demons he cast out of people wanted to proclaim who he was. But Jesus just goes about his business, town after town, healing after healing, miracle after miracle, not seeming to pause very long, always quickly moving on. And we also hear that often after these events, Jesus would retreat to a quiet place for prayer, for solitude. In other words, he would leave the crowds that were searching for him. Even in today's account, we hear that Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go on to the next town, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. So we see, even though Jesus was a great healer, he had even more. It's no doubt he brought healing to many of those people. But what is that greater message that he was so eager to continue on and share? As astounded as we might be to realize that Jesus really did give sight to blind, he really cleansed the lepers, he made the lame walk again, we should be even more astounded at the ultimate healing that Jesus brought to the world. And this sense of urgency throughout the Gospel of Mark is for this reason. This sense of urgency we see in Jesus quickly leaving the crowds time and time again is for this very reason. You see, the sense of urgency we see in Jesus going off and retreating to the quiet place for prayer, and even him silencing the demons from proclaiming who he was, all of these are for this reason. Later in the New Testament from James, we'll hear this. "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. See, the prayer of faith is not for physical healing alone, not only for emotional healing, but for complete healing. The prayer of the faith will save the man, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. See, this is why Jesus had such a sense of urgency throughout his earthly ministry. Because his main ministry, his primary purpose for being on earth, was to bring this ultimate healing to the world. And these, I dare say, smaller healings, although they were miraculous, they're only precursors of the greater corporate healing to come. He even hints at this when he says, which is easier, to say to this paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your mat and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take your pallet and go home. And he immediately stood up and took the mat and went out before all of them. So they were all amazed and glorified God and said, we have never seen anything like this. But you see, we have to wait all the way to the very end of the Gospel of Mark before we see this full identity and purpose of Jesus proclaimed. In fact, we have to wait until we are at the foot of the cross. There, Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that he had breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. Here at the foot of the cross, we'll see the fullness of Christ's ministry. These healings throughout his time on earth are to be signs for us of this great healing to come. Come through his passion on the cross, his ultimate triumph over all sickness, even death, and his opening the kingdom of God to all believers. And from James, we're reminded that we, as the church, should pray for healing for those who are sick, body and soul. Now, sometimes when we pray for healing, we see real results, tangible results. I know individuals who've been completely healed of things without explanation. We praise and thank God that his healing grace continues today. In fact, our diocese has a very active healing ministry. And even here at St. Peter's, the clergy are now offering prayers with anointing the first Sunday of every month. That will occur shortly during Holy Communion. I encourage you to consider coming for prayer when you're sick, seeking that healing grace of God. As I said, many of our prayers are answered right away. However, we don't always see those results. And this too can be quite challenging for us and challenging to our faith, especially when we're suffering greatly or someone we love is suffering greatly. What are we to think or do then? Is God hearing our prayers? Is he answering? Well, in order to sort out those thoughts, I believe we need to recenter and refocus ourselves, just like Jesus did, on his main purpose, on the broader ministry he had. Because yes, Jesus came and he healed many sicknesses and diseases, and he always did this to proclaim that the kingdom of God was at hand. But you see, even all these great miracles were temporary. We know the blind man whose sight was restored later died. And the lame man who jumped for joy, he died. Even Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead, died. See, it's at the very moments of serious sickness that we too have to remember and hold on to and proclaim Jesus' main mission, his ministry, and the work he completed. And it's our faith that the saving work of Jesus is what acts as our compass through these times of great sickness or grief. See, focusing on that helps us look beyond any temporary suffering of the earth. It propels us towards the ultimate healing brought through Jesus Christ, which is the healing of death itself. And that healing is not temporary. We know Christ is alive and lives forever and has laid out before us this path to everlasting life. So we continue to pray. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for our family. We pray for our neighbors and our friends. We pray for ourselves. We pray for healing of the sick, and we pray that healings might occur, and when they do, we give glory to God. And we pray for the salvation of souls, for the ultimate healing brought from Christ to the world, for his triumph over death. Now, Father Nigel, who ran our diocesan healing center for many years, always said, something always happens when we pray. See, we're to live our faith here while also believing in what's to come. It's not an either or, but rather both that we claim. Because the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven.